Today's message, the church series, part six, is imitate God. I know I've heard this message before in every which way, but I think sometimes, we don't realize that when we're talking about imitating God is doing what Jesus did and how he did it, how he had done it. And there's some scriptures I'm going to reference to, but it says, we talk about, confess the word. You know, believe that you receive it and confess the word. I said, but we need to confess it when God tells us to confess it. See, we meditate on it day and night, but when he tells us to speak, that's when we speak, and that's when we'll get those results that Jesus got. And sometimes we just keep speaking it out. I don't see anything happening. I said, you never heard Jesus saying, I don't see anything happening. He just spoke it because the Father commanded him to do it. And then he moved on. Spoke to the tree, came back. It was dried up. So if you've been discouraged, that you've been confessing something over your life, I say, get into the word, meditate on it, get it in you. And when the Lord says to open up your mouth, that's when you release it. Amen? So I'm going to reiterate that in my message. So if it sounds like repetitive, it's meant to be. If you got your Bibles, open up to 1 John 5. It's the Amplified version. I didn't know under the U version it had two different types of Amplified. So I'm going to read the one that's on here. It says, everyone who believes, adheres to, trusts, and relies on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, it's not his last name, he's the Messiah, the anointed one, is a born-again child of God, and everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him, his offspring. By this we come to know, recognize and understand that we love the children of God. When we love when we love God and obey his commands, orders, charges, when we keep his ordinances and are mindful of his precepts and his teaching. For the true love of God is this, that we do his commands, keep his ordinances and are mindful of his precepts and his teaching. And these orders are of his. And are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, or grievous. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Who is that is victorious over, that conquers the world, but he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts, and relies on that fact. If you want to know if you are truly God's children, there it is right there. You got to do two things. You must love and obey. Love his commands and obey. And his commandments aren't grievous. They're not very hard. They're not burdensome. Jesus will not put anything on us that is just so hard and ill-fitting that we just can't do. I just can't love this person. I know sometimes that is hard. That is difficult. You may have a friend that just works your nerve to the last. It's get away from me or you about, Well, that's the reason why I'm telling them to get away from me, because I love them. I don't want to do something to them. I was going to say it, but I chose not to, Andy. You see it. You felt it coming on, huh? No, we're not going to do that. Why? Because we got to love God's children. So if you are a child of God, you are required to love his children. So it's impossible to live a life full of hatred toward another child of God who is imitating the Father and call yourself a child of God. But to totally cut people out of your life is not God's will. Now, you may do it for a season. And I understand that because you got to get back into that place, and get right with the Lord. But when you totally cut them off, basically you're cutting yourself off from fellowship with God because you're cutting off his own children. You're ignoring them. And he never calls us to ignore one another. We are all brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you allow anyone to do anything that they want to you. Okay? Just because they're not showing that they're not a child of God, you show that you still are a child of God. So it's not what happens to you, it's how you react to it, it's how you respond. We respond through his love. If imitating God is too hard for you, then you have to realize that you haven't been living it the way he told you to live it. This Christian walk isn't a tough one, honestly. It's not hard at all. It's very easy when you're doing it in his love and his way. Jesus shown that. Now, you're going to have problems. We all have problems. But what do you think faith is for? Faith isn't for your everyday chores. It doesn't require the God kind of faith to get into my car, start it up, and come out here to the church. I know it's going to start up, and if it doesn't, I jump it. That's not the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith that he's given you is basically for the impossible. It's for all the tribulations that you may have in your life. That's what his faith is for. And the just shall live? Huh. So there should be some impossibilities going on every day in your life if we're going to live by faith. You should be expecting more than what you're expecting. Because most of the time, if we're really honest with ourselves, we're just using human faith. You can see or be a part of a miracle every single day of your life if you're going to live by faith. That's what he's given you. It's a gift. Every single day. Not once a week, not just on next Sunday. It starts today. And it can carry on to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and what have you. If everybody's healed, my goodness, then we just have a testimony service. Even when you're loving your children, mothers love their kids so much. I mean, they don't have to question whether or not they love them by feeding them, burping them. I got my grandson, Roman, is awesome. I mean, he crinkles his nose up sometimes at you, and it's the funniest thing ever. The funniest thing ever, but he doesn't have to question on whether or not we love him. Because that love is just automatic. And God's love towards us is automatic, and our love towards one another should be automatic. Now somebody crinkled your nose up now. It's like, okay, get away from me, you devil. No, but his love is automatic. Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, well, I don't know if we should love them. They're not our brothers and sisters. They're from a different denomination or something. We can't love those Baptists. Especially the first Baptists. My goodness, they're weird. No, they're still brothers. You may disagree with some things that they believe, but they're still your brothers. Who are your brothers and sisters? Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one. So we have to stop trying to compete with one another. Different churches competing against other people. That's a worldly philosophy. That's why it's called the World Games. They compete. We are going to dominate. That's a whole different level. Competition right here. Domination up here. This is where Jesus walked. Pharisees walked. I'm talking about in life, not in sports. In life. The church is one body. We don't compete, we dominate, and we only have one opponent. And who is that? Satan. And if we're the body, and Jesus is the head, we're the body and the feet. Where is Satan at? So it ain't even much a game. He's already under our feet. So our authority is just basically keeping him where he belongs. He starts talking to you, write a note, put it on the bottom of your shoe, say, you get to it in time. Get to it later on, Satan. Why? Because he's already under your feet. So your biggest battle is going to be right here. It's going to be you battling yourself, getting up, getting dressed, fixing your bed, fixing your hair, if you have any. Looking presentable, going to work with a good attitude, loving your neighbor. demonstrating the power and authority of God in your life every single day, not just when you come to church. Sharing your faith. Ignoring the enemy. And when you walk into a room, he respects you. And if he doesn't, just speak the name Jesus. Speak when he tells you to speak. Because they have to obey. They have to. They have to. They have to obey. The just shall live by faith. And your faith is a gift. It was for the impossible or insurmountable problems that you will face in life. John 16:33 says this. Amplified version, I believe. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. The only way we can have perfect peace is in Jesus. In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted. That word undaunted means courageously resolute, especially in the face of danger. Be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. I know that's probably a different version. I forgot that one, Kristen. But perfect peace only comes through intimacy with Jesus. So if you spend your time with all your problems, all your fear, your anxiety, your depression, your loneliness, those are your friends right there. That gives a whole new meaning to show me your friends and I'll show you your future. But if you spend time with Jesus, you have intimacy with the Son of God, you're going to have perfect peace. Not much. You're going to have perfect peace. Am I saying Siri? Do I mumble that much? Hey Siri. Everybody's supposed to see my thing just came on. So turn to your neighbor and say, who you been hanging out with lately? Is it fear? If it's fear. Fear can come and visit, but hey, just like some of those visitors, you don't. Fear can come and visit your home. Loneliness can come. Depression can come. Anxiety can come, but it doesn't have a right to stay. Show them the door. There was a time when I came to my house and I was like, and it was just maybe 5 minutes. It was as if I was walking on eggshells in my own home. And then a spirit of fear tried to come up on me and I rebuked it. God broke it off, never been back since. It may come upon you, but you don't have to receive it. You don't have to keep it there. Why am I always anxious about stuff? Well, who are you hanging with? Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows my sorrows. See, if we had Tommy Reed, he can get those low notes. Being with Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to go through a storm. It means you can now face anything that comes your way with Jesus because you don't have to go at it alone. They were in that boat. That storm came. They took their eyes off Jesus. They weren't doing what he was doing. He was asleep. Because he already gave them a command. We're going to the other side. But once the storm came, who are you hanging with? They were hanging with Jesus. But they weren't imitating him. Undaunted, courageously resolute, especially in the face of fear. It's like you were born for trouble. You're not born to be a troublemaker. You're born for trouble. I can read the story about David and Goliath over. I probably read it 100 times. And I'll probably read it 1,000 more. It doesn't get old with me. He ran. A shepherd boy. A teenager. Ran. To meet this giant. And swung a stone, sank it into his head, and went over there and cut his head off with his own sword. Man, how can you do something like that? And he did that. And here's the thing. He had less than what we have today. But he understood his covenant with God. You don't mess with God's children and get away with it. Now, we don't go and carry a slingshot in the back of our pocket. We don't do that. We speak when God commands us to speak. But we meditate on the word, what Joshua 1:8 says, day and night. And when the Lord says to speak, you're going to get the results that Jesus received. So we don't run away from trouble. We run towards trouble courageously. There were times in my life as a preteen where I ran towards trouble, so to speak, in fear of my pops. Because my generation, and some of you parents may know, I mean, just how we grew up in the city, but you can roll with me on this. What time were you supposed to be home? Before the lights, come on. And man, I tell you, we'd be hanging out with our friends and then you hear the lights just flicking. It didn't matter where you were at. We were making a beeline straight to the house. Man, it wasn't, "Pops, can you come pick me up? I'm at my," no, you better get here now. Bike, it don't matter if you're walking, running, you're on a skateboard, you're riding a bike, you're on the handlebars, riding with your friend on the back of the peg. Let's get there, man. We got to go. Sometimes they didn't even stop. You just jumped off and just kept running. Why? Because you didn't want to get in trouble. Because they held you accountable. But we run towards trouble with courage, not with fear. We don't run away. When you're running away from trouble, when you're running away from your storm, look, there's not too many places that you can go running away from a storm. Sometimes you need a change of self rather than a change of scenery. So we don't run away from storms, go to locate to another city or what have you, thinking that we're going to get away from our problems. Our problems will always be there. Because there's a level that God needs you to go to. So you were made for trouble. John 5:19 says this in New Living Translations. Says, so Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." John 12:49 says, "I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it." John 14:10 says this, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me doing his work through me." Jesus can only do what he's seen the Father do. He can only say what the Father had commanded him to say. And that's the principle that we should be living by. If we want to imitate God, we have to do what the Father does. We have to say what the Father has commanded us to say. God's words in your mouth are a whole lot powerful than your words in your mouth. You'll get better results. Did anything stop Jesus? And he didn't even have the keys yet. Pharisees' plot, couldn't do it. They couldn't take his life. Nobody can take your life. You have to lay it down. So what you're afraid of? Man can't stop you. Satan, he's under your feet. He can't stop you. The person who can stop you is you. Luke 2:52 says this, "And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men." If Jesus had to increase in wisdom through the word, so do we. And as we increase in wisdom and mature in age, favor comes along with it. Joseph had favor. Thrown in jail, still had favor. It didn't stop him from doing what was right. He had favor. Again, do you have something greater than what Joseph had? You getting this? If he can keep us arguing back and forth, I don't like that t-shirt right there. It's about the bills, man. What are you talking about? That's petty stuff, though. It's just a game. Brandon says it, alludes to it. It's just a game. It's a game I want to win, but it's just a game. But if he can just keep us arguing, bickering, stirring up trouble, trying to stop, I wonder how much. I know I have authority over that. We're going to see. Since I announced that, let's see how many people try to come my way and try to stop what God wants to do next week. But it's under my feet. They'll get drop kicked with a word. Favor is divine influence upon the heart. Favor isn't for your own will. It's for God's will for your life. Not my will, Lord. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. Jesus had a purpose. I don't want to do my will. I want to do God's will. And I'm not 100% perfect in that. But I do want to do his will for my life. Ask yourself, am I doing God's will? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I living out his purpose and plan for my life? Am I doing what he's called me to do? And if not, why not? Get there. So I think sometimes we become so impatient that we just want what we want when we want it and how we want it. But here's the thing, join the line, because that's how Abraham was. That's how all the other people were. That's how Solomon was, how David was. That's how everyone was. But when we start imitating the Father, you're going to get the same results as he got. And no one is exempt from that. That is a believer that believes and trusts in God. A great man once said, favor ain't fair. Some people ain't going to like that you're being promoted. Some people aren't going to like that you have a great influence. Some people aren't going to like that you have, I mean, just an abundance of wealth or what have you. Some people aren't going to like that you have just such a great intimacy with the Father. I mean, it's almost as if you're walking on air. You're just happy all the time. How is it that you're happy? How is it that you have this peace? Well, who you been hanging with? Show me your friends and I'll show you your... See, that ain't just people, that's depression. Well, that's love. That's courage. You get around bold people, you're going to start speaking boldly. You get around people who know the word, you're going to start speaking that stuff. You get around people who like to cuss all the time, pretty soon one of those things are going to be flying out your mouth. We get around people that want to vape. Pretty soon you're going to want to do that. Will God still love you for it? Yes. But show me your friends. I'll show you your future. I want this intimacy with God. Well, shoot. Vape and spend some time with the Lord. I don't mean on a half. Oh, what is that I'm looking at? What is going on? I'm just saying it'll get you to the place to where that intimacy is so strong. What? I don't need that. I just want you. I don't need that beer. I just want you. I don't need to watch that. Lord, I just want you. I just want to spend time with you. I don't need to root for those Chiefs. I just want you. You're going to get that all season, buddy. Come on. In order to imitate God, you're going to have to spend some intimate time with him. To walk like him, to talk like him, to do what he's called you to do. We have it so much better than the disciples did. And they were there with Jesus. But how many times did he tell them, man, where's your faith? See, we have this, all this in the word. In hindsight, we can see what not to do. And yet we still sometimes do it anyway. Imitating him. Therefore, be imitators of God. Ephesians 5:1. Be imitators of him. That isn't just a love thing. Those are the greater works. Those are the great works and the greater works. You know, Jesus was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Can you imagine if he would have had room to go out into the world and do what he's doing himself while he was here on this earth? He impacted the world by being confined to one, but since he sends us out, he's still doing his thing. The greater works. Make a disciple of all nations. It's the greater works. Leading someone to the Lord. It's a greater work. Building orphanages and things of that nature. They're greater works. But don't forget the works. You can demonstrate those works every single day of your life. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. Man, I've watched people's heels grow out, legs grow out right in front of them. I've never seen a limb grow out, but personally. But there's nothing that God can't do. Imitate. He created the world with his words. He created the world through faith. Faith is made for the what? Impossible. And we're supposed to live by that. Every day of our lives. Impossible faith. Crazy faith. Faith that moves mountains. Heard my friend say, sometimes we may make a mountain out of a molehill or what have you. And it's sometimes like an horizon where you just see the clouds and it kind of looks like a mountain, but it's really not a mountain. We don't want to do that. True mountains are mountains that are insurmountable problems in your life that just can't be moved without the faith of God. So when he tells you to speak, that's when you speak. And it'll work every time. Every single time. You will get the same result as Jesus did every single time. So I'm going to meditate, and I'm going to meditate, and I'm going to meditate, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to believe. And then when the Lord says to speak, I'm going to speak. It's like I said last week, and when the Lord told me, there are men lying on you. And the words that I give you to say will refute every tongue that rises up against you. So when I tell you to speak, speak. That doesn't mean I'm going around picking fights and arguments. That just means, and here's the thing, that's for everyone. Anyone, no one can lie on you to your face. You know what you do and what you don't do. Jason, man, I seen you out of the club the other night, man. Your first response will be, well, what were you doing out of the club? No, he was, that's hogwash. I was at home with my family. And you know, you don't even have to give that attention. You don't mind me picking on you? Okay, yeah, because you were laughing pretty hard the other week. Imitating God, that's where we want to be. Say what he says, do what he does. But say it when he commands you to say it. And I guarantee you, I want to hear the testimonies next week. So, write them down so you won't forget We're going to be able to share that. I want to hear what God is doing through you. And if you got to bring some people on a flatbed or something like that with a mattress, bring them. Bring them. Or better yet, you speak to when the Lord says speak, and then just bring them on and let them testify. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can imitate you, Father, because you are the one that we have created to be in your image. So I thank you for these people here. They don't have to come, but they choose to come to serve you, to be in a place of worship with you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for those who are traveling on the road, that you're keeping them safe and protecting them and their families. And I pray for every soul in here. That you will keep them in perfect peace as they spend that intimate time with you, Lord. And we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, stand and turn to two people, shake two people's hands and say, we'll see you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.